Montag, lieben Klausen Globen.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The man himself, Craig Bowlerjack, kind enough to join us right here on the Zone Sports Network. Bowler, how the heck are you?
Hey, Bowler.
Hey guys. I say rock on. That's what I'm saying.
It's right. Yeah.
Every time I picture you taking our phone call and coming on with a segment, I picture you like ducking out from underneath the hood of some type of Trans Am with a little grease on your chin, taking a rag off the carburetor and wiping
Levi
the hands
jacket.
And throwing it on the table.
He's got the boom box with a cassette deck right next to him.
No, 8-track, Scotty, 8-track.
There you go.
I just love to picture it, man.
No, I tell you, I dabbled when I was – I took, you know, like everybody, shop, and then, you know, went down and tried to learn how to, you know, do all the car stuff too and – you know, changing a tire here and there. But, yeah, I mean, now you just have somebody else do it, right?
and you
can't even get inside a car right now. It's just so tight. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So I would say it was about 6 months ago. I got a flat tire. And, you know, flat tire is no big deal. You know, you get the lift out. You take care of it. It takes you about 15 minutes, and off you go. And I could not get the spare out. And it was just driving me nuts. My car was, you know, my car's fairly new, and I couldn't get the spare out. And so finally I had, you know, roadside assistance, and it was the most embarrassing phone call I ever had to make. And the guy goes, yeah, there's this special thing. And it was in the trunk. There's an attachment that goes to something in the trunk, and you spin it, and it lowers the tire down. And I couldn't figure it out to save my life. And I felt like the biggest idiot in the world because I needed somebody to help change the tire because I couldn't get the damn spare out.
Hey, was it a regular size tire or a donut tire?
Oh, it's a donut, yeah.
Oh, the donut, yeah. Don't you feel cool? And think about Scotty driving around with three big wheels and a little donut.
A little donut, yeah.
Yeah, I one time drove on a donut for a year and a half.
No, you did.
I did, my Eagle Summit. And I took it in. I finally took it in to get a tire. This was when I was in college. I didn't have money to get a tire. And I finally took it in, and the guy asked me, he's like, because the donut was wore down. He said, how long have you been driving on this? I don't know, since last football season. He's like, you're supposed to drive on this for 6 miles.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you could do 6,000.
Yeah. So, and you never got the oil changed in those 6,000 miles either.
Oh, man. Yeah. No. Those donuts actually work.
Yeah, it's only supposed to get you to the garage so you can get the tire for a new one.
Honestly,
6,000 on a donut. That's a commercial right there.
I don't really know how you're still with us, honestly. Some of the stories you tell, like, I don't know how you're not dead.
Oh, man, that's actually the truth. That donut story is 100% the truth.
You got a good one with Lavelle, right? Didn't you help him haul some stuff in the back of a pickup? That's a classic.
His father-in-law had passed away, Buller, and he needed a couple of guys to come help him clean out his father-in-law's garage, and his father-in-law had an antique pinball machine that was worth thousands of dollars, and he had found an electrician downtown that it would fix it. So me and Justin Inna load this thing up in his truck. I get in the truck with him. Justin's following in front of us with another guy, and we're at the electronics store, and Lavelle punches it to beat a car that was oncoming to get into the driveway or into the parking lot, and that pinball machine went flying out of the truck and landed in the middle of the road upside down and shattered into 1,000 pieces. And he was not happy. I was laughing because I was uncomfortable, and he looked at me with that grimace like, can't even believe what you're laughing right now. He turned to me and said, you think that's pretty funny, huh? I was like, no, man,
that's awful.
That's brutal.
That's horrible.
Yeah, an extra 1,000-yard dash is tomorrow.
Exactly.
Well, Bowler, last time we talked, it was the world was coming to an end because the Jazz had lost back-to-back games. Hey, right. Now they've reeled off some wins and an impressive one at Milwaukee, and now the ship has been righted. So can you get a good vibe as to who this team is right now?
No. I'm trying to. Yeah, last week it was what's wrong, and now you go, hey, man, look, it's the three-point, you know, the three ball is gone, and Donovan looks more comfortable. Bogey's still a little bit up and down. Consistency from Mike and Jordan Clarkson, and all of a sudden you get a 4-2 road trip, right? Three straight wins, and you're back home after the game in Washington was postponed. So, yeah, it's interesting. You're 11 games in. We talked last week about, you know, maybe 20 is the magic number of how things spread out, and you start to see things beginning to stack up in the West and the East, and I think we're seeing that right now. But, you know, the Jazz have a chance after the Sunday game in Denver to come home and have a nice homestand and really start to kind of, you know, figure out again who they are at home now. I think they figured that out on the road. I mean, how impressive. I think they have the second or third best road record. I haven't checked since last night. 6-2 is impressive. I don't care where you play or who you play, but 6-2 away, 1-2 at home. So a chance to, I think, to really reestablish is the word, I guess, some home dominance. And, you know, you're going to have about 1,500 fans back in the stands after a two-week break from fans in the stands. And hopefully it'll be a positive, and the Jazz will find their consistency that they found quite a bit on the road, to be honest.
Bowler, you know one stat I absolutely love about this team right now. You're through 11 games, and you throw in the mix of injury and COVID, and the thought of having the same five guys on the court through 11 games to start a game is pretty hard to believe just in a regular season. But throwing in COVID, it's pretty incredible that O'Neal, Bogdanovich, Gobert, Conley, and Mitchell have started all 11 games. What type of leg up does that give this team?
Oh, it's huge, you know, because hands what again, I think Dennis and Quinn all thought was that this team was consistent most of last year. Obviously, every team goes up and down sideways through 82. Last year, obviously shortened. This year will be shortened with 72. But health is everything. I mean, it's for anybody. At the pro level, amateur level, whatever it may be, consistency is everything. And I think, again, when it goes back to Dennis's comments about, you know, bringing Favors back, it was the fact that he knew the team and he knew the system, and so they were consistent again with bringing him and making him a part of the second unit, which is, I think, bode pretty well to this point. I don't know if Derek's really looking to score, but at the same time, it's about rebounding and, you know, the high percentage when he does shoot. And he's also, you know, blocking shots on the defensive end. So, I just think this team still has, you know, a ways to go. And I think Bogdanovich especially has still got to come back, as we talked hands last week about injury and finding the consistency of that wrist. You know, he had a wrap on it. Now he put some tape down on it. The orthopedic tape that's used sometimes for stability, and, you know, he'll find his way. He's an incredible player, can still drive and score at the rim, but it's in the mind where he just has to understand there's going to be pain along the way. You know, you saw him take a fall in Cleveland, and you kind of grimaced with him, but he was able to play through it, and that's maybe the first step, really, in getting to understanding that there's going to be some glitches along the way, but it's going to be okay.
Craig Bowler, Jack, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So weird calling a game without Joe Ingles out on the court?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. You know, Joe's just Joe. You know, you look for him because he's the guy that, you know, we all think we are, and a little slow, but gets the job done, and leadership and confidence and the little look back at you snarl. Yeah, you miss that stuff. But you got to protect Joe right now. You know, he's been in the league 7 years. He's played internationally. There's some miles on those legs. And it's at that point in his career where you do have to be careful. Achilles is you know, the one word you don't ever want to hear. ACL and Achilles are, I think, puts a fright into everyone's hands. I think, you know, my drift there. And it's it's something you just have to watch. And you have to, I think, really lean on him now to say how you feel. And you can do all the treatments you want, but it's really him to say he knows his body better than anybody. And I think Joe doesn't come off the floor, by the way. 384 didn't happen by mistake in consecutive games played. And for him to break that streak, maybe it takes the pressure off, but at the same time, it's protecting him. But the Jazz are a better team with him. There's no doubt. Assists, the pocket pass with Faves, I think leadership and that ability to hit that three ball. He was starting to really, you know, find his groove as well before he's taking some time off.
Buller, Scotty and I had a chance to talk a little bit about Shaquille O'Neal's criticism of Rudy Gobert's contract and as to why, and then Rudy's response to that. It felt so mature. It felt right. It's exactly what I would have wanted to see from one of my stars that we just extended, if I'm the front office. I want to know, just in your experience with Rudy over all the years with the Utah Jazz, how much do you feel he's grown from even last year to this year and the way he handles his in front of camera and in front of mic business?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's been a process. Look, we saw him knock the cup off the scores table. You know, I don't mind emotion. I mean, I like it because it tells me that there's passion, there's fire, and he wants to win and improve his game. But in this particular sense, there's no reason to get into a Twitter war with Shaquille O'Neal, who has the ability every night when he's on TNT to make a comment that can either help or hinder, right, your career. So I think Rudy took the high road. Look, Shaq has his own history, and, yeah, he's got rings. And, you know, Shaq has a story with Greg Ostertag as well in the playoffs years ago. So there's no reason to get into some sort of, you know, crazy babble with anybody unless you know you want to take that fight on, right? But I think Rudy's saying, hey, look, man, I got a different focus and a different way of playing. You know, Shaq, as we know, power broke rims at LSU, you know, like a dime a dozen. Different style of play, no question. And, you know, I think Hans and Scotty, I don't know how you guys look at it, but I still think the age of Shaq and even, you know, the Stocks and the Malones, the era that played a totally different style of play and the money that was available at the time, they've helped build what is today. And I still think there's some anger at times when they realize the salary and the impact they had on the game and on television and the fan base and how it's grown over these last 15 to 20 years. Sometimes doesn't sit well. And, you know, I remember the great late Hot Rod would always say, you know, hell, I'm the number one pick back in the draft, and I think I made $20,000. And if you put that in perspective, think about that now and what the Hot Rods did and the Sloans did and the Stock and Malones did. I think that has an underlying swell of maybe some anger at times when Shaq doesn't believe anyone really deserves, you know, to earn more than what he did. But in reality, guys, as you know, TV money is what is the driving force. 40%, you know, sales from tickets feed into that. And I thought Rudy did the right thing. You know, he took the high road, and look how he wrote to the Jazz and the fan base after he signed the deal. I mean, Gobert is growing. He's a young man who's made huge strides. And I think he made a great point, Hans, in his letter to the Jazz fans. The open letter was that sometimes he feels that the language barrier, his accent, hinders him to really express himself. And I believe that because talking to him, it's a little softer. It's not as to the point at times. There's a little bit of a, I'm not sure if I should say this because I'm not sure I'm saying it right. And so I think the words for him are much more impactful, and I think he's found his voice in that regard. So, a long answer to your question, but I think he did the right thing. No reason to get into some sort of a crazy, you know, TNT battle every night that Gobert plays, and then it's free game for Shaq. So, it may hurt a little bit, but probably the right way to go.
I think that the growth that came with the whole controversy of touching the mics and the COVID
yes.
issue that all came, Buller, at that point, it was going to go one of two ways. He was either going to decline and continue to go into a shell and digress and get things to get worse for him, or he was going to improve. And I think he grew leaps and bounds from that situation.
Agreed. You know, I think he had to take the stand and understand the pushback from a lot of people, from the press and fans. But at the same time, Hans, if you flip it a bit and really look, you know, his ability to speak to it, and also I think people now looked at that night, it was going to happen somewhere, right? So it actually, the moment in time and Rudy being positive and turning the world upside down, but also starting the process of finding the cure to save lives. I mean, it's a strange ordeal. He'll always be involved in it, but I think he's taken a more positive approach, which helps, you know, for all of us to move on. And I'm with you. I think that was a horrific moment in his life, but at the same time, the biggest learning moment probably as well, which helped turn sports in this world in a different direction to understand what we're up against and where we are today.
Bowler, we appreciate your time as always. Always a pleasure and honor to catch up with you, and enjoy the game coming up today.
Hey, my pleasure. Hey, man. Hey, Hans, did you see Scotty on TV last week or this week?
I did make an appearance on the Jazz pregame show.
Oh, no, I didn't see
it. Yeah, it was fun.
I'll get you a tape. I'll get you. Yeah, it was good.
Hey, Bowler, now that, you know, the whole thing's official, and Scotty did beat you in the race, like,
why would you do that?
I'm just saying, like, Bowler, do you take on 2021 and you're like, oh, I'm coming back for my trophy?
Oh, Scotty, I own Scotty now. Yes. Coming hard, man.
I love that there's a rivalry going.
I've hired a campaign manager.
you're gonna fill up the ballot box, huh? You're gonna get this thing done.
Well, like Karl Malone said to Michael Jordan once when he won the MVP, he's like, I appreciate you letting me borrow the trophy.
No. That just makes me cry laughing, man. That conversation, I love it. No, Scotty, well deserved, as you know, and I'm happy as hell. You know what? Hey, it's you got a runner up, man. Come on, that's good. That's okay. There's great talent in this state, and I'm it's great, man.
There is a ton of talent, and it's fun to be associated with them for sure. So, Bowler, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
You're the best,
all right,
Bowler.
Scotty, Hans, have a great weekend, guys.
You got it. Craig Bowlerjack right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. That was not okay what you just did.
No, whatever. I'm just glad that it's official and now we can actually talk about it. I wanted to get a comment from Bowler after it was official, not before. Just to pull back the curtains, I got to admit, last week we had Bowler on and Bowler announced that Scotty was going to get an award coming up the following Monday. And how proud he was of Scotty. And I didn't know where my stand was on this. Like, Scotty had told me, hey, we can't talk about this, so let's not mention it. And so then it's just really awkward because Bowler was after it. Like, he wanted to congratulate you.
I only wish Scotty was in the same room with you so you could see how much Scotty was squirming.
Yeah, tell me how that – I want to know.
Yeah, because I was in Lubbock, yeah.
I could hear you kind of moving.
I could hear you shifting in your seat.
Well, what? And then our equipment dropped on us.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, that was awkward how that happened. Very random.
I don't know why you would think that I would turn off the equipment. Anyway, 11:29. We're live here at Built Bar. Hey, we have just discovered a new flavor here at Built Bar.
Oh, my gosh. This is so good, man. It's the dark chocolate cookie dough. There's actually a protein-packed cookie dough that sits on top of the Built Bar that's underneath the layer of chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is packed full of flavor.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you're going to get. And as you're starting your New Year's resolution, remember these bars? They're keto-friendly. You can lose and maintain weight and while indulging in these Built Bars. Low sugar, low calorie, high protein, high fiber. And as Hans and I can verify, they taste incredible.
150 calories in this dark chocolate cookie dough Built Bar. And as I mentioned, the flavor is incredible. The texture's incredible. You know, you really are down on your net carbs because of your sugar alcohols, and I'm just looking at the calorie intake on this. You get and the protein intake, 15 grams of protein in that.
Wow.
15 grams packed into that dark chocolate cookie dough Built Bar. That would be a good place to start. Or I don't know if you can find it on the site, but the cookies and cream, I know the cookies and cream have been extremely popular. And, Scotty, you know that that's always stayed up in my top three.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Cherry Barcia, the cookies and cream. We've talked about this dark chocolate cookie dough Built Bar. Go on to BuiltBar.com and just find the box that fits you. Maybe you love cherries. Maybe you love the cookies and cream. And get yourself a box and try these. You'll be addicted.
Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code ZONE, and it'll get you 20% off your order. That's promo code ZONE. Get you 20% off right now at BuiltBar.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one.
Make us your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
The bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All brought to you by Zero Res. Get three rooms of carpet clean for $88. Call right now. Zero Res. Schedule that appointment right now. 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Not very often do we get a in-state sweep in college basketball. Apologies to Southern Utah. I know they did lose yesterday. But Utah, BYU, Utah State, all with big wins yesterday. BYU going to St. Mary's and getting a win. Utah at home against Stanford, getting a nice win. And then, of course, Utah State with the game against San Diego State, and for the most part really controlling that game and ending up winning by 12. So three big wins for Utah, BYU, and Utah State.
All three good opponents.
Really good opponents, yeah.
That Stanford team was 8-3 and had a couple of good wins. And St. Mary's, you know, I don't – obviously they're not up there in Pomeroy rankings, but St. Mary's has done some good things. And BYU just struggled in that arena for so long, and then – San Diego State, we knew it was going to be a test for Utah State, and Utah State handled it well. Utah State's defense just must be gritty.
They are long, they are athletic, and they get a ton of deflections, and then you get a guy like Namish Keita who's playing his best basketball at Utah State. And defensively, they're guys that will drive into the rim, and it's a lot like Rudy Gobert. You'll see guys drive in, look up, and like, uh-uh, nope.
How much of the – was it 45 points they gave up?
Yeah.
How much of that was San Diego State just missing shots?
They shot. Let's see here. I've got the stat sheet pulled up here.
Like open looks, but
there weren't a lot of clanking. There weren't a lot of open looks last night. San Diego State shot 31% from the field, 23% from three. And here's the thing: in a game that was probably one of the most physical games that I've seen in the regular season, the refs were letting them play, and so you get two very physical teams. They let them play. And Utah State only shot two free throws last night. And those two came on a technical.
The refs must have taken yesterday off across the board because they didn't call anything in this BYU-St. Mary's game. There was one possession where I think it was maybe 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left in the second half. Richard Harward went up for – he grabbed a rebound, I think, and went for a putback, and two dudes just clamped down on him, and there was no question it was a foul. And they swallowed their whistles in that game and really let those guys play physical and aggressive. So BYU held St. Mary's to 52 points, but I would say St. Mary's did some of that damage to themselves. They missed some open looks off the perimeter. Yeah. There was a couple of decent looks down low as well that guys were clanking off that should have probably fallen for St. Mary's. But BYU did a great job in defensive rotation. One guy that came on the court, Scotty, and jumped out to me was Gideon George, because there were some transition issues when St. Mary's would get moving there in the first half of this game, and Cousy would get the ball. He could move really quick and get up the court. And I thought George did a good job of changing the direction and the outcome for BYU. I enjoyed a little bit of West Coast Conference basketball at 9 p.m. last night. It was fun.
I thought Gideon George was really impressive.
He was. Night.
He had some really good moments.
And good job by Mark Pope to just try some different combos defensively and see what works. I think that's the sign of a good coach.
Yeah.
I love seeing adjustments, personnel matchups that work.
Good, the bad, the ugly. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, everybody knows Angel Cabrera. Angel Cabrera won the U.S. Open at Oakmont back in 2007, beating Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk. He won the Masters in 2009. Scotty, he lost in a playoff in the Masters in 2013. Everybody knows him. What's his nickname, Lloyd?
El Pato.
El Pato. Well, El Pato was arrested in Brazil. Federal police arrested him, and he was extradited back to his homeland to face charges for several crimes allegedly committed from 2016 to just last year. And by the way, these crimes are pretty heavy duty. Officials in Argentina have charged him with assault, theft, illegal intimidation, and repeated disrespect of authorities. Apparently, Cabrera's former wife, Sylvia Rivero, had filed two charges against him. The reports also said that Cecilia Torres, another former partner, claimed Cabrera had punched her, threatened her, and attempted to run her over with his car back in 2016. So he's been very violent, very aggressive, and multiple major charges, and he was extradited from Brazil back to his homeland to face these charges. El Pato! Cabrera, Angel.
He's no angel.
No, man. Apparently, this is a bad dude. Lloyd, did you know that this is a bad dude that we were watching out on the course?
I just remember him kind of walking down the fairway and smoking heaters as he wins U.S. Opens.
Wait a second. Does that mean hitting a heavy, like, iron? Or is that like, what do you mean?
No, he just smoked cigarettes.
Oh.
Like a chimney.
Yeah.
This is
but
not
I didn't know
mechanic.
he was this bad of a dude.
Oh, the mechanic smoked cigars. So El Pato smoked the ciggies.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah, he goes right for the unfiltered.
Oh, yeah.
Rolls his own?
Yeah, you know that's some heavy, heavy tobacco he's smoking there. All right, nasty. There's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
I just don't... I don't know. And I get it. I don't live in that world. It doesn't. But Adrian Peterson has made $102 million in his NFL career, including $1 million last year from the Detroit Lions. Well, he's been ordered to pay almost $8.3 million in a summary judgment to a Pennsylvania loan company after he defaulted on a loan back in 2016. D'Angelo Vehicle Sales, LLC, sued Peterson in 2018 after the running back paid to pay back an initial sum of $5.2 million, including interest, by March 1st, 2017. He took the loan to pay back other loans that he'd received for investments that didn't work out his way. The report goes on to indicate that Peterson may have been taken advantage of by those he trusted, but at the end of the day, he's taken out a loan, and if you go into the details on this, he was paying almost $2,000. The interest was almost $2,000 a day.
To your point, it doesn't make sense. Now, going back to just early childhood and having an uncle that was very successful in the NFL, and they didn't pay like they do now, but still it was good money even back then. And I can remember my parents telling me about different investments and thieves that would come and try to take money from my uncle.
Yeah.
And it was an early warning years and years ago that if you do end up with any money, you have got to watch out for criminals. I will also tell you that one of my teammates that played in the NFL for a lot of years, and you know him extremely well, Scotty, he got taken for $250,000 right here in the state of Utah off of a bad real estate deal that a guy just was a criminal. Full-on criminal. Unabashed. It wasn't an accident. This guy just stole his money and ran with it. And so those things, I know they happen. I know because I've seen it. Firsthand, I've seen it. Now, to the tune of $8 million on a payback, now I know that that's with interest on an initial loan of about $5 million, but taking a $5 million loan to have to cover loans and investments that fell apart when you've made $100 million? It leads us down a road of having a perception of Adrian Peterson that goes well beyond the criminal charges that he's faced.
So the loan, as you mentioned, was in the $5 million range, and he signed on a $5 million loan with an interest rate of 16%, which is why you got that $2,000 a day of interest.
$2,000 a day. Interest racking up at $2,000 a day.
Yeah.
And this thing was taken out, what, 2016, you said?
Yep. That's where you get the additional $3 million of interest. Why he owes $8 million instead of $5 million. The New York state law said that the loan has been pushed down to 16% interest, now down to 9% interest.
So from 2000, maybe down to like 1100?
Yeah. Oh, man, that is, I mean, just that makes you feel sick to your stomach.
Do you think he has the money to pay it back? So you're telling me a court has now ordered him
to pay the $8.3 million. I guarantee he doesn't have the cash to pay that back. I don't know what his, you know, what his assets are like, but if he owns multiple homes or something like that, but he's going to have to.
He only made $1 million last year.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Liz Lloyd.
Well, he's really out of the money-making times
of his career. Gets another contract, it'll be $1 million. You know, he's inching down to the veteran league minimum. And so you're looking at a situation where he's probably going to have to, you know, sell a house, sell properties, do something to kind of raise that money, because I'd be hard-pressed to think he's got $8 million in cash lying around.
Which is a really ugly thing to think when you've made 100+ million.
Yeah.
Wasted opportunity, man. Happens way too often.
But I mean, just look at it this way. So, all right. So he's made $100 million. Realistically, Hans, and you've dealt with these paychecks. When it's all said and done, he probably walked away with maybe 50, right?
Yeah.
He owes $8 million. That's almost 20% of every of every dollar he made in the league.
Very right. Very absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, by the time he's paid agents, well, and he had some legal issues. And
yeah.
So I don't know what that cost him in attorneys. But he does not have the amount of money that people would think.
Yeah.
But it's still enough that you should not be digging out of an $8 million debt.
Something tells me he's not going to be able to pay this back.
No.
Well, that was one thing that was pretty incredible about Michael Vick. Michael Vick owed debtors. Do you remember? And he could have filed bankruptcy, or there was an issue where he could have done that, but he came back to the league, made the money, and paid back the debtors.
He made everybody whole, which I think is really, really respectable.
Very respectable. Something that I definitely appreciate in a time where people always take the chicken route out. And my guess is this will bankrupt him eventually.
All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, Whole World News straight ahead right here on The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With
Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
From The Athletic, he's our friend Sam Amick.
Our listeners love to hear what you think of the Jazz. Does this team have the potential to do something beyond the expected?
Yeah, I think they do. I really like the Donovan, Rudy Gobert combo. They have things in their corner that were not in their corner in the bubble. They have Bogdanovich. They have Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson. So I think the potential is there. Within all that, I think it's Donovan elevating his game again. Say what you will about Brooklyn. They have three future Hall of Famers and two former MVPs and two champions within that three. Teams like the Jazz and most others can't compete with that on a star level. So can Donovan be a top 15 guy? Can he be a top 10 guy? And that's what he's got to be pushing for.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. You've got you and me, sister, in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
Hey, it's time for another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So, Scotty, COVID has been really difficult here.
Yes.
But it hasn't been anything like it is in Quebec. Quebec is a really tough place right now.
Oh, it's getting hit hard, huh?
Really bad. Really, really bad. The numbers are horrible. The death rates. In fact, as of Monday evening, Quebec reported 230,000 new cases, 8,737 deaths.
Wow.
Like, they're struggling. So what they did was they imposed a curfew. Everybody has to be in their house at 8 p.m. and you cannot come out of your house after 8 p.m. So you have to stay in your home. If you are caught out of your house, it's a $1,500 fine in American dollars per person. Well, the only reason you can leave your house is if you're walking your dog. So this young couple in Quebec decided that the wife was going to walk her husband. So they put a dog collar on the husband, and she walked him. And he was down on all fours, and he would bark occasionally. And he had a collar on, and she would walk him in order to get out of the house. Well, they were caught by law enforcement, and they were issued a $3,000 fine. So my question is to you, would you ever let your wife walk you?
No, that would not happen. You? Plus, you know, getting on all fours in a on a sidewalk that's going to rip up your hands. Getting too old for that stuff, man.
I don't know. Dog collars in public, probably not.
Wasn't there a story about a girl who believed that she was a dog? And
A horse.
Oh, was it a horse?
Yeah, the horse girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. It was a horse.
Yeah, she trots like a horse, and she moves around on all fours like a horse. I don't know. There was a strange story behind all that children are evolving more to be walking on their feet and their hands nowadays. So,
wow, that's an interesting evolution trend.
Well, she was just taking it to extremes, and if you watch her, she moves like a horse, and she can jump over things like equestrian walls and stuff like a horse. It's impressive.
Yeah, like lunch picnic tables.
Yeah, yeah, she can
do the whole wall.
But she can jump over picnic tables and things like that like a horse.
Yeah, sure.
Lloyd, would you ever let your wife walk you?
No.
Just to get out of the house?
No.
You and Maximus just kind of strolling down the street,
greeting each other.
I'm just gonna say no.
If I did let Amanda walk me, I don't think I'd bark. Like if she was like, "Hey, bark! You gotta look real." I'd be like, "Honey, this is getting stupid. Out of hand."
I'm already down on all fours. You already have the collar around me. This is where I draw the line.
I'm not barking. Lick out of that bowl. No.
No, that's gross.
Do your business on that fire hydrant.
No. Oh, well, okay.
All right, okay. got me.
You're just lucky I actually have to go.
Actually, she'd have to pull the light, the leash taut to get me away from the fire.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's something. I thought the story was going to be that there was going to be like a real surge in pet adoptions so that people could have a dog so that they could walk.
Oh, there might be some of that. But women are just trying to walk their husbands. I think.
What's that cover? I wonder who initiates that too. Like, he's like, man, I hate this curfew. And she's like, how bad do you hate that curfew?
Whatever you do, do not look at
Tyler's
tweet,
I have an idea.
By the way.
What, Lloyd?
Don't read Tyler's tweet.
Okay. I won't read it.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Jeez.
Can you both not read it and sit there and laugh?
We really have fun. We have great listeners, by the way.
So, yeah, putting a little bit of thought into this.
Why are you putting any thought into this, honestly?
I'm surprised we've actually taken this much time with this.
I know. I do like, by the way, like the 10:30, 11 p.m. texts I get from you, like, hey, bro, I've been thinking about this lately, and it's some pretty off-the-wall stuff.
Yeah, my mind does weird things like at 10:30, 11 o'clock. It really does. But this one's interesting. If I was really wanting to get out of the house, I mean really wanting to get out of the house, I think I'd let Amanda walk me. I don't think I would, you know, I don't want to go to the dog park. I don't want to 100 yards would be too far of a walk for me looking like a dog.
Yeah.
If I do walk, it's like, let's go out the front step here and walk around in the yard for a minute.
Hey, and then, you know, and if we see a cop, then I'll get down on all fours, but let's just.
Until then, I'm upright walking dog.
All right, coming up next, Brock Miller from Utah State's men's basketball team joins the program. It's all straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.